Special, was it not? Wow. The old rugged cross. In the book of St. Matthew, the 12th chapter, at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word. Let us just for a moment open our minds and hearts, receive that truth you have for each one of us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, all God's people. Amen.
Amen.
I've decided that for the next few weeks, starting in this 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, we're going to talk about some of Jesus' parables. During this time in his teaching, it took a change. Up till this point, Jesus taught very openly, very straightforward. He used scriptures from back in the Old Testament, and he basically told the people straight on what and who he was. But from this time forward, he used more and more parables to try to get those who simply didn't understand. And the ones Jesus were so harsh upon were the Sadducees, the Pharisees, those learned religious men. I was so moved at this funeral on Friday when I had met some of the folks who were going to take part in the funeral, some of the ones who were going to share. And I had little conversations going on. I was trying to find some background about folks. I talked to a man who had his wonderful Rolling Thunder jacket on, and he shared some wonderful little anecdotes, some things about Mike's life. And then in talking to him, he was telling me a little bit about his past, about different things, and although not much of a churchgoer, he said, "You know, I used to be a deacon for years. I used to. And we kind of came to the conclusion that the Christian army, as I've said before, is the only army that has been known to shoot their wounded. This is true. The thing that we have to realize is, why has God allowed us to be here today worshiping one with another in spirit and in truth? We as a church, we as a Christian body have made mistakes. But I believe without a shadow of a doubt that this is a house of healing. This is a house that although you may have been wrong in the past, although you may have been mistreated, somebody has misspoken, somebody didn't do the thing the way you wanted it, God can make it right. He can bring healing to your soul. He can bring healing to your spirit. And he can allow you to be just back where you should be, lined up your spirit with his. To begin, we have to think about this Sabbath. Pharisees had kind of made up their mind that they were going to draw their little battle lines, try to catch Jesus on what they saw was he doing things on the Sabbath that should not be done. Now, I don't know if you want to have Sabbath on Sunday, on Saturday. You can pick out a different day. Really, to me, I'm not all that concerned about the day. Just that I do believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that God has given us a day of rest from your normal work. What you do on that day is pretty much up to you. It could be a sunny day down at the golf course. Mike, wake up and say amen.
Amen.
All right. It could be off somewhere with a nice little fishing hole that you found. It could be spending time with a picnic with your family. My mother worked harder sometimes on Sunday than any other day, but I'll tell you one thing, when that Sunday afternoon rolled around and that chicken that she'd prepared on that stove, that fried, it never tasted any better, and she was never more proud to have her children there to serve them on the Sunday afternoon meal. Doesn't mean that you don't do anything. Simply means that you do something different, something that you do, and you honor God by enjoying the gift that he has given you, a day of rest from your usual toil and labor. It says over in Exodus, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus 20. Verses 9, 10, and 11. The Sabbath was a gift from God to us. Now these Pharisees had turned everything around. They had figured it out, and I guess they originally started thinking about, you know, if we don't do anything, we won't make any mistakes. So they pretty much would dare anyone to do anything on the Sabbath to make sure that they would not step out of line. And the worst part of it, they used it in their pride to go around and point fingers at others about what they thought they were doing that was wrong. Sound like some churches you've been in? I think that we can learn as we start to look at some of these parables. And this is a beautiful one, a place to begin, because Jesus, simply because he and his disciples were hungry, they gathered grain. And those Pharisees jump right on it, says, no, that is gleaning, that is work. You shall not do that on this day. You have defamed the Sabbath. Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. I like Sunday. It's busy sometimes on Sunday. I know when I start out my day at Roy Rogers and I order that meal that so many times they bring to me wrong, that I have changed my order over at Roy Rogers to make it easier on them so that I don't get upset. I am still trainable. I love coming to the house of the Lord. I love coming in when the temperature's too cold and we heat it up and now it's gotten too hot. I love it when the benches aren't quite as comfortable as they should be. I love it when the sound is not quite right. I love it when things look like it's almost chaos and people said, oh my goodness, no wonder he's got all that white hair. It's tough to raise a congregation. I love it because when I come to the house of the Lord, I feel his spirit. And I'm here to do the best that I can. And I know each and every one of you, without a shadow of a doubt, have come to God's house with that same opinion. The challenging thing that we're going to have is how do we do that better? How do we know more about this man they call Jesus? How can we go around professing he is the Lord of our life? He is our personal Savior. And we simply don't know enough about him. How are we going to learn that? We're going to start out by learning these little things that he taught, these little parables that I enjoy. This is going to take us a few weeks. We're not going to move as fast as we do on Wednesday nights through that little book. See, some of the things I say don't apply to you individually. It just applies to somebody else that knows what I'm talking about. And that's okay because not everything in church is about you. Not everything in church is about me. But trust me, everything that God has blessed is about him. Now what we're going to do is we're going to start by thanking him. We're going to start by taking a small wafer, representing a body that was broken upon a cross. We're going to thank him for that. We're going to begin by taking a small cup of juice, representing the blood that was shed upon that cross for my sin and your sin. And we're going to do this in remembrance of him. When I ask him to kind of come in and just clean up anything that shouldn't be right, allowing us to totally focus on what he has done for us. But then at the same time, I hope and I believe that God is going to instill within us a desire to know more about him. That old hymn, "More About Jesus, What I Know." More of his grace to others show. I believe that April coming in May, during the summertime, that God will bless us as a congregation. He will bless us as a people. The more we thank him for what he's done for us. Amen. Heavenly Father, it says within your scripture that they gathered together on the night before he was betrayed. And God, he gave thanks. So we ask now that you allow us to give thanks what you've done for us. We ask now that you bless this wafer, you bless this small cup of juice. And let each one of us in our own way just say thank you, God, for what you did for me so many years ago. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said amen. We're going to ask the gentleman to come forward. I'm going to ask that you all wait until we're served and we'll break and eat together.